Welcome to Methods, a podcast from the ESRC National Centre for Research Methods at the University of Southampton. In today's episode, Professor Claire Goodman from the University of Hertfordshire talks about end-of-life care for people with dementia and how it can be evaluated effectively.
Nobody really goes into a care home with the purpose of dying or with the diagnosis of dying, or very few people do, but almost all people have a limited life expectancy. And so inevitably, issues around end-of-life care do become quite significant. And then for people with dementia, around about 80% of people living in care homes do have dementia. That could be mild to moderate to advanced. And dementia can complicate decision-making around interpreting what somebody wants, what their care needs are, how to interpret symptoms, and also who becomes involved in decision-making around end-of-life care.
So tell us a bit more about what those main issues facing professionals, policymakers, those trying to improve end-of-life care for people with dementia are.
For the care home staff, the issues they face is they're trying to provide a homely environment. The overwhelming majority of people want to support somebody to live and die in their care home, but they may not have the skills or experience that they need when somebody is approaching the end of life, and they might find that quite difficult. So particularly in care homes that don't have on-site nursing provision, that is expecting quite a lot of staff to be able to see somebody through to the end of life and address symptoms, be able to assess pain, be able to manage distress, be able to make decisions about whether when to call for help or not. So those are the kind of issues that they face.
So policymakers are presumably principally concerned about the ever-increasing costs of health and social care, but also presumably about personal choice.
And very often for people with dementia, and particularly people coming from care homes, there is a policy anxiety that too many are admitted to hospital for symptoms that are not resolvable, and that hospitals are not the best place to die in. And for those who are generally trying to improve end-of-life care for people with dementia, I think it is a recognition that the person living and dying with dementia is just that they shouldn't be defined by their diagnosis, and that there needs to be appropriate interventions that can enable staff and the person to receive the care they want and can most benefit from.
And tell us a bit about what aspect of end-of-life care for those with dementia does your work focus on, and why?
I'm not a palliative care specialist, and so as I said at the beginning, the reason I got involved in this is because of my interest in care homes, and that interest arose out of the fact that care homes rely on primary health care services, so GPs, district nurses, and visiting specialist services to provide health care and, of course, palliative care. And so I'm interested in that interface as to where the care home can assume the responsibility and feel supported, and what kind of responses and services that they need from the NHS to be able to enable somebody to die well in the care home.
And where do you get your information from?
It's a programme of work. So my first care home study that related to end-of-life care really looked at how different visiting healthcare professionals understood their work with care homes. And what that revealed was, if you like, a three-way view as to what the NHS ought to be doing, from providing as much support as possible, working alongside, doing work with care homes as long as it didn't compromise their other commitments and priorities for people living at home, to quite a strong feeling that this shouldn't be their work and that it needed to be the responsibility of care home staff, and that they should receive education and training to enable them to do that work.
So that early work was about the difference in the underlying rationale for how and why services were being delivered, is that right?
So a lot of the work was about finding out, well, how do services work with care homes? What do they see their role? Is it about just supplying equipment such as low air loss mattresses or pain relief, or do they see themselves as partners in care to help people die well in the care home? And also, is this specialist work or could this be covered by generalist professionals? So the first work was really about mapping the range of provision. And from that, you get a picture that's very eclectic, very varied, driven by personal preference, local history, access to specialist care. The next work then went to look at interventions that could work with that kind of variability, both in the health service and in care homes.
So from a sort of a basic facts and figures point of view, what did the data you looked at tell you?
That in a year, your average care home can expect that about 25% of the residents will die, and that for the majority of those residents, you will know that they are dying. There might be a very short lead-in period, but generally that there will be enough time to make sure that plans are in place and to have conversations with relevant healthcare professionals. But for a significant minority of residents, they appear not to be predictable in how they die. And so that for people who are thought to be dying then recover, and other people who are not even recognised as dying then have an acute episode of ill health and then do die. And so from the facts and figures, what we found was it's quite reasonable to expect that most people within 2 to 3 years will die from the point that they've admitted to a care home. But you can't deliver palliative care on that premise because they don't die in a sort of linear form, and that there will always be this group for whom dying is a little bit unpredictable, and therefore you have to think through how one enables decision making in ways that are sensible and not reactive.
So we hear a lot about individuals' experiences of care home care, but what you're talking about here, I guess, is a much wider picture.
Historically, a lot of our very good end-of-life care research has focused only on the resident experience and the management of symptoms, and rightly so. If, for example, breathlessness, pain, distress, inability to communicate what they want. But there is a bigger picture that feeds into that as to how does one accommodate people who are dying within a care home environment, whereas that's not the primary focus of staff, and how does one organise access to care so that when people are dying, they can be supported by specialists in palliative care, but also staff can be.
So all this has led you to propose something called an uncertainty framework, which you hope will help people better evaluate what's going on. What does the framework do, and how can it change things for the better, do you think?
Okay, well, the uncertainty framework basically came out of a secondary data analysis of three separate studies, which had all tracked the care of older people in care homes, and then looked in detail at the experiences of those people who had died.
And what did you suggest exactly?
We proposed that when you're thinking about providing end-of-life care for somebody, or when you're thinking about, is this person dying, what do we need to put in place as a health service and as a care home, then it helps to structure thinking to where are the areas that need to be focused on. So the uncertainty framework looks at uncertainty in terms of the disease trajectory. So for someone with dementia, being able to answer the question, is this person actually dying? What should we actively treat the symptoms that are being presented with? Should they be referred to hospital? Would they recover if we treated them with antibiotics for this chest infection? Those are the kind of uncertainties and discussions. So any intervention we're suggesting has to be able to acknowledge from the outset that that's a difficult process, and not assume that you can automatically say that, yes, this person is actively dying.
And then, of course, there are all the questions around all of the different parties involved in the decision-making process.
Somebody living and dying with dementia may not be able to participate in decision making, say what they need. And then the becomes a question of, well, who do the care home staff relate to? Who makes the decisions, because the people who are involved could be the relatives, could be the resident themselves, they should never be discounted, could be the GP, could be the impact of how well the care home and confident the staff feel in relation to the regulator. So in terms of understanding all the different pressures on whether you make the decision to keep somebody in the care home is framed by deciding whose voice people are going to listen to, but also how that is negotiated. So the relational uncertainty we're saying is that interventions need to build in processes that enable everybody to be involved in having a conversation about what should work and how.
Are you able to give us a practical example of that?
I was talking to a community geriatrician, and she recognised that this older person in the care home was probably not got much longer to live. And so she anticipated that, and so started to have a conversation with the person's daughters, and commented that all four daughters were adamant that if their mother should become unwell, she should go to hospital. And she was sort of saying, well, they were, if you like, exercising their decision making, but, you know, how, therefore, her responsibility in the care home staff were to find ways of keeping that discussion going, because that might not be in the long term in the woman's, in the resident's best interest. So that sort of expresses the relational uncertainty about it wasn't a given that it was the doctor or the care home staff who were making decisions about treatments, that there were many players involved.
And then, of course, there must be all the questions around money, the $64 million question, and resources.
To provide good end-of-life care for somebody requires resources. And the service uncertainty, particularly if it's a residential care home, it may be that they don't have the capacity in their workforce to support somebody who needs quite intensive care. And equally, visiting primary health care services need to think about how much resource they could allocate and whether this is something that can be provided, and also whether the resources that the care homes and the visiting healthcare staff require to help somebody die at home, whether they're available or not. So really the uncertainty framework is providing a structure to think through between all these different players, what are the issues that are going to arise for this person, and how do we hold uncertainty, for example, if we don't actually know if they are dying, if we're not actually sure if everybody is going to be in agreement with a decision not to go to hospital, for example, or if we're not sure that actually we can sustain providing end-of-life care to somebody if they're dying, is it protracted over a very long period? And the argument of that framework is you can put in a lot of solutions and you can, if you like, limit their impact. But equally, you have to be able to have means to discuss these and hold the uncertainty and acknowledge it not as a failure, not as something which has to be sorted out, but as something that has to be worked over a period of time between all the different players.
Claire, tell us a bit about the reaction to your work and the suggestions around the framework that you've made.
What was most heartening were two responses that stand out. One from a group of palliative care nurses who actually emailed one of the co-authors and said that they'd found it so helpful in trying to untangle why sometimes they found providing end-of-life care to people with dementia in care homes so difficult, and that it helped them to sort of, if you like, look at where the issues were occurring, that their, you know, tendency just to focus on symptom management hadn't been enough, and that looking at the uncertainty framework had sort of clarified their thinking and how they worked with care homes. And there was another response from a geriatrician who basically just said that it was the first paper that she had looked at that had been able to articulate all the different dynamics of what is happening when you're trying to support somebody with dementia at the end of life in a care home.
Claire Goodman was talking to Christine Garrington about work that she'll be presenting at the Research Methods Festival in July 2016. You can find out more on the NCRM website at www.ncrm.ac.uk.